gonna read a little bit tonight, and I don't think it'll be boring. I don't think the verses that we're gonna read will be at all boring, especially to people that care. I don't know anybody here tonight that would like to go to jail. Anybody like to go to jail? Some, I know some are headed that way. But if our attitude don't get better, nobody's ever been there, and you're not the only one that's ever been there in this here, by the way. No, nobody wants to be locked up. I preached this morning about the Apostle Paul, a preacher, and it was from Colossians. And that whole book we read there, you can read it, Philippians, that book too, you can read that. They were written in prison, and it wasn't the kind of prison like the way they got today. You didn't have a yard to go out in, and they were dungeons. I mean, sometimes didn't even get to eat while they were in there. I mean, just a pit somewhere. And there was no ACLU or whatever to appeal to. It was a bad deal. You say, well, how did most of them get out of prison? Well, I'm glad you asked that. Most of them got out by what the price to get out was, usually was your head. So what do you mean by that? I mean, usually the way to get out was you lay your head down the block and somebody with a big sword would come in and cut it off. You say, well, what did they do? What did they do to get put in prison? Oh, nothing, just preaching the Word of God, that's all. Coming to church, telling people about Jesus. Nope, I mean, and you say, preacher, well, I'm glad that was then. I'm glad it ain't now. It is now. It may not be in your neighborhood, but it's in some neighborhoods. It's in some places in the world. You say, well, it'll never be in our country, man. It's headed this way on a jet train. I told you this morning, they don't ask schools to take 10 commandments down. They tell them now. They order them down. They order them down. They don't ask preachers to preach politically correct. They order you to now. So I want to preach to you a little bit. I want to preach to you, I believe, what's a very timely message. It's no different. The reason I'm going to use a lot of verses is because these verses were all verses given by God to the people of God just before persecution, just before a time of tribulation came to the church. And I want us to listen to them, if you would, tonight. Let's look here. I'm going to look at the order I've got them. So I'm going to have you change to Philippians chapter 1. Philippians chapter 1. Let's look there first of all. Philippians chapter 1 and verse number 11. And young people, kids, I just want you to listen real good. I don't want to have to get on anybody. I want you to listen. And if you don't know what I'm talking about, just act like you do. Philippians 1 and 11. And look what the Bible says, being filled with the fruits of righteousness, which are by Jesus Christ, unto the glory and praise of God. And he said, but I would that ye should understand, brethren, that the things which happened unto me have fallen out rather unto the furtherance of the gospel. Remember that. Everything I say tonight, everything I talk about, it's not to be dismal or depressing or pessimistic. The Apostle Paul said to the church in Philippi, right from prison, he said, the things that have happened to me, he said, everything that's happened to me has happened for the gospel's sake. Amen?
Amen.
And as a child of God, underscore this in your mind. There's nothing that will ever happen to you that what God doesn't allow to happen for His glory and honor's sake. Nothing. God is bigger. Greater is He that's in you than He that's in the world. And God is bigger than anything. So listen, anything happens to us, God allows it for His purpose. Amen? The Bible says in verse 13, He said, so that my bonds, imprisonment, in Christ are manifest in all the palace and in all other places. The Apostle Paul saying that by me being in prison, all the politicians know my name. Don't you? You know, it wouldn't be bad if the politicians in this country knew our name. Amen? You know, every once in a while, somebody will stand up and make a radical statement, what the world considers radical, and they go haywire. It wouldn't be bad for them just to come sit and listen to an old-fashioned preacher preach a red-hot sermon, amen? And walk away saying, wow, that guy is nuts. We need to lock him up. And that's the way it was with Paul. And he did get locked up. Verse 14 says, and many of the brethren in the Lord, waxing confident by my bonds, are much more bold to speak the word without fear. That ought to be the attitude of the Christians. Now listen, instead of saying, oh man, I'm afraid I'll get locked up. They looked at Paul and said, Paul preached and Paul got locked up and he's still preaching. Hey, they can't hurt him. They can't shut him up. He's still doing God's work from prison. So we'll just keep on preaching. Amen. They got bold because of it. Listen, we need boldness in our day. We need boldness in our day. We don't need to back down. We need boldness in our day. But listen, we need boldness in this day and time. Verse 15 says, some indeed preach Christ, even of envy and strife. Some also of goodwill. He said, the one preached Christ of contention, not sincerely, supposing to add affliction to my bonds. That's an interesting verse. And you can ask Chuck Lewis to explain that to you. Amen. Verse 17 says, but the other of love, knowing that I am set for the defense of the gospel. That ought to be our testimony tonight. Amen.
Right.
Now, every verse I'm reading to you tonight has a purpose behind it. Now, I'm going to preach to you a little bit. I'm going to preach and read a little while. But listen, he said, I'm set for the defense of the gospel. He says in verse 18, he said, what then? Notwithstanding, he said, every way, whether in pretense or in truth, Christ is preached, and I therein do, what's the next word?
Rejoice.
Yea, and will rejoice. That's a key word to the message tonight. We're going to get back to rejoicing, amen? Listen, it's a necessity. It's a necessity for God's people to learn to rejoice, not in temporal blessings, but to learn to rejoice in Jesus Christ, amen? Say, preacher, I rejoice tonight because of all the good things God's given me. That's the wrong reason to rejoice. Rejoice in God, amen? Rejoice in salvation. Hey, we ought to be glad for the things God's given us. We ought to be thankful for the things God's given us. But if you've got a stack of bills that high and you don't know how you're going to pay them, we still ought to rejoice in the fact that heaven is our home. We're not going to go to hell. And someday we're getting out of this old world. And until then, we ought to rejoice in Jesus Christ, amen? Listen, we don't rejoice. We're not charismatic tonight. We don't rejoice because of the wad of bills we got. We rejoice because of the blood of Jesus Christ. Amen. Christ is our rejoicing. He said, what then? He said, I therein do rejoice. And he said, yea, will rejoice. What made Paul rejoice? The preaching of the gospel of Jesus Christ. That ought to be why we rejoice. Amen. Verse number 19 says, for I know. That I like that. I know that this shall turn to my salvation through your prayer and the supply of the Spirit of Jesus Christ. Can I talk to you a little bit about that word, the supply of the Spirit? Can I do a little bit of expository preaching? Amen. I don't want that word scary. Some of you go to the bathroom when I say that. Listen, hey, a little bit of preaching, just talking here from the Word of God. Look what he said. He said, the supply of the Spirit. And I tell you, the supply of the Spirit is sufficient. It ain't never going to run out. Amen. But listen, hey, I don't believe the coal reserves are ever going to run out before Jesus comes. I don't believe the natural gas reserves are going to run out before this world ends. But I'm going to tell you what, listen, I can guarantee you, listen, hey, that there'll not be one saint of God left on this earth what the Spirit of God ain't left with them. Amen?
Right.
He said, I will never leave thee, nor forsake thee. And when Jesus left, he said, I go away. He said, if I don't go away, he said, I can't send the Comforter. He said, but if I go, he said, the Comforter's coming. Who is that? That's the Paraclete. What is that Comforter? That's the one that runs along beside of you. He's there with you. You're never going to wake up and not have the Spirit of God with you. I hear that kind of oft-time misinterpreted preacher. People say you need to pray for the power of God. I believe there is a power of God. I believe there is a fullness of the Spirit. But if you're saved, the Spirit of God's with you. Amen. The moment you were saved, He's with you. He dwells in you. Amen. And the problem is not having more of Him, but Him having more of us.
Right.
We need to acknowledge Him and His leadership in our life. Verse number 20 says, according to my earnest expectation. I like those words. I could preach on a whole bunch of stuff tonight. I like that earnest expectation and my hope that in nothing I shall be ashamed, but with all boldness, as always, so now also Christ shall be magnified in my body. Look at this. Whether it be by life or by death. Now you tell me, what are you going to do with a fellow like that? Amen. What are you going to do with an attitude like that that says whether you kill me or whether you let me live, it doesn't matter. Christ is going to be magnified in my body. Amen. Now listen, that ought to be the attitude of the saints of God in this day and age in which we live. Verse number 21 says, for me to live is Christ, and to die is gain. You know, the world never had heard talk like that till Jesus Christ came. There had been sects before and groups before, S-E-C-T-S, and those sects had risen up, and there was religious leaders, there were philosophers, but none of them ever glorified the idea of dying like Christians do. Some glad morning when this life is o'er, we get a big smile, I'll fly away. Thank God. You know what we're singing about? Someday I'm going to die. And in the meantime, I'm going to take all the vitamins I can and go and get as much bread to keep from it happening. Amen. But I'm glad it's going to happen. Some glad morning when this life is o'er, I'll fly away.
Amen.
Hey, listen, what's that song? How beautiful heaven must be. What a day that'll be. I just hope it's not tomorrow. What a day that'll be when my Jesus I shall see. And I'm not mocking or making fun, but I'm just saying our attitude about heaven needs to change. Our attitude about life needs to change. For me to live is Christ and to die is gain, the Bible says. Look what he said. He said, but if I live in the flesh, this is the fruit of my labor. Yet what I shall choose, I wot not. He said, for I am in a strait betwixt two, having a desire to depart. I'm going to tell you, listen tonight, Christianity does not have a desire to depart. By whole, the majority of Christians don't have a desire to depart. We have a desire to be part. The majority of Christianity today has a desire to be a part, to find its place in this world. Even in churches today, churches talk about how can we be relevant in our community. How can we get our music to be such a music that the world can come in and they'll feel comfortable in the church? How can we make the world come to the church and feel comfortable in the church house? That's the attitude that we have. He said, nevertheless, he said, depart, be with Christ is far better. He said, nevertheless, to abide in the flesh is more needful for you. He said, having this confidence, I know that I shall abide and continue with you all for your furtherance and joy of faith, that your rejoicing may be more abundant in Jesus Christ for me by my coming to you again. Only let your conversation be as it becometh the gospel of Christ, that whether I come and see you or else be absent, I may hear of your affairs, that ye what? Stand fast in one spirit. That's what I was preaching to you this morning about being part of a regiment. Amen? About being, we're all under the same flag. We all fly under the flag of the gospel of Jesus Christ. But God's given us churches, regiments, where we gather together and organize and go out and do the work of God. Amen? We're not sponges just soaking up, going around, soaking up. We're to be conduits, and we come to church and get what God has for us and go out and tell others about Jesus Christ. Amen? The Bible says, he said, I may hear of your affairs, that ye stand fast in one spirit with one mind. What's that next two words? Striving together for the faith of the gospel. Look at this in verse 28. Notice this. Here's a verse I want you to see. Look at it. And in nothing terrified by your adversaries. We're talking about persecution tonight. We're talking about tribulation tonight. We're talking about our enemies tonight, our adversaries. He said, and in nothing terrified by your adversaries, which is to them an evident token of perdition, but to you of salvation and that of God. For unto you it is given in the behalf of Christ, not only to believe on Him, but what's the next phrase? but also to suffer for his sake, having the same conflict which he saw in me and now here to be in me. Take your Bible, turn to 2 Timothy chapter 3. I'll try to go quicker. 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse number 12. One verse here we'll read. 2 Timothy chapter 3. Let's look at verse 11. 3:11 says, persecutions. 2 Timothy 3:11, persecutions, afflictions, which came unto me at Antioch, at Iconium, at Lystra. What persecutions I endured. You see that? But out of them, what's that next word? All. The Lord delivered me. Yea, verse 12, notice it, look at it. Yea, and all that live godly in Christ Jesus shall suffer. Listen, that doesn't mean when your cable bill goes up. Amen? That's not what that means. That means when coming to church is a do or die prospect. When I prayed a moment ago, when Brother Eric prayed at the offering, I believe if I remember right, I know what his prayer, I don't remember mine, but I believe both of us prayed, thank you, Lord, for this, anybody remember? Opportunity. We have an opportunity tonight to be in the house of God. There are places right now and other places in the country, in the world, where people are meeting in private, in secret, for fear of the government, and have been for years. Adoniram Judson went to Burma, and Adoniram Judson, for preaching the gospel. Adoniram Judson was in prison for 7 years. When he got out, his wife weighed less than 60 to 70 pounds. He didn't even recognize her. Full of diseases. You know what he did all those 7 years? His wife would come and smuggle in through pillows. She would smuggle in copies of a manuscript. He was working on a Bible in the language of the people there. And even in prison, he prayed, God, help me to do the work you called me to do. Even as he was being persecuted, he was drugged through the streets of the city and beaten and abused. Say, preacher, when did that happen? A few hundred years ago. Hey, listen, we're heading that way. I'm not saying that somber tonight. I'm saying that as a pastor of a church that has a responsibility to preach the truth. And I'm saying that to you and I, that we ought to have an attitude realizing that persecution is right around the corner. All that live godly in Christ Jesus shall suffer persecution. You say, but no, Lord, no, preacher, we'll never see that. But we will see it. But why will we see it? What did I say in the beginning? For the furtherance of the gospel. The gospel of Jesus Christ has grown stagnant in America today. We pray for revival. We pray for souls to be saved. You can tell you what will get the church active in America? Persecution. Persecution. Listen, the Bible says, verse 13, but evil men and seducers shall what? Wax worse and worse, deceiving and being deceived. But continue thou in the things which thou hast learned and hast been assured of, knowing of whom thou hast learned them. Are you learning anything? Are you being assured of anything? You know why we don't preach a bunch of new stuff around here? Because you don't need something new. You need to be assured of the old. The Apostle Paul told Timothy, he said, the things which we committed to faithful men, he said, commit thou also the same. The same. That word commit, that word means echo.
Amen.
You know, when you go out and you echo, you know what comes back? What you said. If it comes back something else, it ain't no echo, amen? It's something else. It's somebody else answering. And God doesn't need us to answer Him. He needs us to echo Him. So many people today want to answer him and correct him and revise him redo him. We just need to echo him. Amen. The same. There's no new gospel. It's only the same gospel. The death, the burial, the resurrection of Jesus Christ. The death, the burial, the resurrection of Jesus Christ. Hey, everything points to the cross of Jesus Christ. The Bible says, well, I want to have you turn to another passage of Scripture. Look at Hebrews chapter 11. Y'all don't mind looking at the Bible a little bit, do you?
Nope.
I like it. Amen. Hebrews chapter 11, verse 24. Jessica gave me this list of verses. I said, you think I've way too many of them to look up? She said, no, you just go ahead and preach what I tell you to preach. I said, that's a lot of reading. I reckon y'all know I'm joking. Hey, let's look here. These are good verses. I just want to give you some dynamite verses. That's all. I'm just trying to plant some dynamite. Ammunition's hard to come by these days. I want to give you some ammunition. Amen? Amen. Hey, preacher, are you for ammunition? I'm for ammunition. I'm for shooting, stabbing, whatever you got to do. Amen? Yeah. If they come in, y'all start shooting. I'm with you. Amen. Listen, Hebrews 11, 24 says, by faith, Moses, when he was come to years, refused to be called the son of Pharaoh's daughter. You say, that's no big deal. But notice there's a sentence continues, says, choosing rather to suffer affliction with the people of God than to enjoy the pleasures of sin for a season. Esteeming the reproach of Christ greater riches than the treasures in Egypt. For he had respect unto the recompense of the reward. What did Moses say? He said, I know that in the end, it'll be wiser for me to choose God than to choose Egypt. Because Egypt's going down in flames. America's going down in flames. Our economy's going down in flames. And we have politicians driving the wagon. Amen. You say, preacher, I'm waiting on a turnaround. You better, whatever you're holding there, you wait on the turnaround, you better pull it out and send it on to heaven, amen? It ain't going to turn around, amen? This world's set on destruction. What you saw in Cyprus a few weeks ago, and I'm not going to get into all that stuff. But bro, that's headed to a bank near you. This whole world is headed for destruction. But I have riches in heaven, amen? Hey, my riches are, my treasures laid up somewhere beyond the blue. The angels beckon me. I just can't go home in this world anymore, Angel Lee. You need to sit down. Thank you, buddy. Listen, hey, we need to realize tonight that there's more to it than just a wad of cash somewhere at the bank. There's a heavenly bank, amen?
Amen.
And Moses said, right, Moses was raised up in the house of Pharaoh's daughter. He could have been the king, but he chose rather to suffer affliction with the people of God. Look here, I'm going to give you another verse. Hebrews chapter number 2, verse number 9. Turn to Hebrews 2, 9. Turn to Hebrews 2, 9. Hebrews 2, 9. Look what it says. But we see Jesus. Amen. That'll help. But we see Jesus, who was made a little lower than the angels for the suffering of death, crowned with glory and honor, that he, by the grace of God, should taste death for every man. For it became him, for whom are all things, and by whom are all things, in bringing many sons into glory, to make the captain of their salvation perfect through suffering. I'm going to tell you, you will find this in Joel Osteen's book. Amen. Because, hey, listen, his book's going to tell you how to have a good tomorrow. And he's going to try to cover up the fact, the problem. He's not going to talk to you about that. But I'm going to tell you what. You can rejoice in tribulation if you'll listen to what I'm going to tell you tonight. That's what God wants. Amen. But the idea that tribulation and hardness is never going to come. I hear people all the time say, I don't want to talk about any negatives. I don't want to hear any negatives. But listen, your car ain't going to go nowhere without a negative. You go pull that negative terminal off and see how far you make it. You won't. The Bible says, the captain of our salvation was made perfect through suffering. He says, for both he that sanctifieth and they who are sanctified are all of one, for which cause he is not ashamed to call them brethren, saying, I will declare thy name unto my brethren, in the midst of the church will I sing praise unto thee. And again, I will put my trust in him. And again, behold, I am the children which God hath given me. For as much then as the children are partakers of flesh and blood, he also himself likewise took part of the same, that through death he might destroy him that had the power of death, that is the devil. The Bible says in verse number 17, wherefore in all things it behooved him to be made like unto his brethren, that he might be a merciful and faithful high priest in things pertaining to God, to make reconciliation for the sins of the people. Verse 18 says, for in that he himself has suffered being tempted, he also is able to succor them that are tempted. Why did Jesus suffer? Why is suffering and temptation? Because people, at the thought of suffering, think about giving up. The Bible says that in the last days there'll come a great falling away. What is that talking about? There'll come a great falling away. There'll be people that say, I don't want to suffer. There'll be people that deny Jesus Christ. They drop out of church. They I don't want to identify with that crowd. There'll be a great falling away. Look at 1 Peter chapter 3. 1 Peter chapter 3. Verse number 14. First Peter chapter 3, verse 14. Look what it says as I read it slowly. But, and if you suffer for righteousness' sake, what's that? Happy are ye. And be not afraid of their terror, neither be troubled. But sanctify the Lord God in your hearts, and be ready always to give an answer to every man that asketh you a reason of the hope that is in you with meekness and fear. I like that. Amen. Look at verse number 17 says, for it is better, if the will of God be so, that ye suffer for well-doing than for evil-doing. Amen?
Amen.
I'd rather die doing well than what I would to die conforming to this world. Amen. It wouldn't be that bad to die taking a stand for Jesus Christ. I'd rather die taking a stand for Him than to die being a compromiser, wouldn't you? Look here. Look at 1 Peter chapter 4. It ain't going to change where I'm going for eternity's sake. But just out of principle, amen, I believe you'll be happier if you come down to your last. I'm talking about you in this life. I believe you'll be happier if you die serving Jesus and what you would be to die turning back and giving up. Amen. I don't think anybody's happy that turns back. I think it's a sad way to live. First Peter chapter 4, verse 12 says, beloved, look at these verses. Think it not strange concerning the fiery trial which, what's that?
Is to try you.
As though some strange thing happened unto you. You know, I'm amazed that we're amazed at the state of our country. The Bible says evil men and seducers shall wax worse and worse, deceiving and being deceived. Our universities are training these. What we have leading our country today is the direct product of the universities from the 1950s and the 1960s. When they taught there was no God. Hey, why should we be amazed when we have a whole generation that grew up that doesn't believe that God created the heaven and the earth? Why should we be amazed when we have people that murder now 60 million babies and have no second thought about murdering a baby in the womb, have no regard about it at all, no concern or care, that have no principles, no morals? We ought to be amazed by that. It's been coming on for a long time now. But here the Bible says, he says that some strange thing has happened to him. He said, verse 13, but rejoice. There's that word again. You'll see that pop up every once in a while. But rejoice, inasmuch as ye are partakers of Christ's suffering, that when his glory, is that next word, might?
Shall
be revealed, ye may be what? Glad also with exceeding
joy.
There it is again. If ye be reproached for the name of Christ, happy are ye. For the Spirit of glory and of God resteth upon you. Say, preacher, I don't think I can take it. You ain't got there yet, amen. Say, preacher, I just don't think I can take it. Brother, listen, hey, the grace of God is sufficient. We have the supply of the Spirit. Hey, you don't know what you can take till you get there, amen. But God will embolden you. God, hey, there's no weapon formed against you that can harm you, amen, if that hurts you. He said, happy are ye. He said, for the Spirit of glory and of God resteth upon you. On their part, he is evil spoken of, but on your part, he is glorified. But let none of you suffer as a murderer, or as a thief, or as an evildoer, or as a busybody in other men's matters. Yet if any man suffer as a Christian, let him not be ashamed, but let him glorify God on this behalf. For the time has come, the judgment must begin at the house of God, and if it first begin at us, what shall the end of them be that obey not the gospel of God? Verse number 19 says, wherefore let them that suffer according to the will of God commit the keeping of their souls to him in well-doing as unto a faithful Creator. You know, you can hurt me, but you can't touch my soul. You can poke me. You can poke my eyeballs out, as other people have. And I'm not getting in line for that. Amen. But if that time comes, God will give me grace. Right now, I say poke back. Amen. Because I ain't going to lie to you. Amen. But God will give me grace for whatever I have to endure. And God will give you grace for whatever you have to endure. You young people, let me talk to you just for a minute. You boys and girls. Boy, listen. It's wonderful to grow up in a country like America and have freedom. Other countries are not like this. It may not always be like this. You may not always have the freedom to come to church. You may not always have the privilege to come like we come. But I'm going to tell you what. Hey, God will love you. He'll always take care of you. Church, it may not always be the way it is. But listen, God's still God. Amen. Brother, listen. I want to read some more verses to you. Let's turn quickly. Let's turn to Acts chapter 20. Two more places I want you to see. I want you to look at one of my heroes, the Apostle Paul. Acts chapter 20. Verse 17. I believe this is a needful message. And I believe it's a good thing just to look at the Scripture sometimes. And just kind of look and see what God has for us. Acts chapter 20, verse number 17. Well, I love this passage of Scripture. And from Miletus, he sent to Ephesus and called the elders of the church. And when they were come to him, he said unto them, ye know, from the first day that I came into Asia, after what manner I have been with you at all seasons, serving the Lord with all humility of mind and in many tears and temptations which befell me by the lying in wait of the Jews. Why were the Jews lying in wait for Paul? They have a reward for him. What were they trying to do to him? They wanted to kill him. The Bible says, how I kept back nothing that was profitable unto you, but have showed you and have taught you publicly and from house to house, testifying both to the Jews and also to the Greeks, repentance toward God and faith toward our Lord Jesus Christ. And now, behold, I go bound in the Spirit unto Jerusalem, not knowing the things that shall befall me there. I don't know what's going to befall you. I don't know what's going to befall me. But look what the Bible says. Say that the Holy Ghost witnesseth in every city, saying that bonds and afflictions abide me. Look at verse 24. But none of these things move me, Neither count I my life dear unto myself, so that I might finish my course with joy, and the ministry which I have received of the Lord Jesus to testify the gospel of the grace of God. The Apostle Paul was eat up on the inside with the idea of preaching the gospel of the grace of God. And his life didn't mean anything to him. His possessions didn't mean anything to him. The only thing that meant anything to Paul, he said, I'm ready to preach the gospel to you that are Rome also. He couldn't wait to open his mouth up and preach the gospel to somebody. Amen. Amen. Brother, listen. Look what he said. He said, verse 26, wherefore I take you to record this day that I am pure from the blood of all men, for I have not shunned to declare unto you all the counsels of God. I want to tell you real quick, first of all, this, how Paul died. The Apostle Paul died in prison. He had his head cut off. You know what he did in his final days in prison? The prison doors were open and there was a guard by him. You know what was going on? People were coming in. You know what Paul was doing? Preaching. In his final days, in his imprisonment, he didn't even have to get up and walk outside to preach. They just come to him. Rulers and kings came to him. Lawyers came to him. I could preach to some lawyers, amen?
Amen.
They all come to him. They just walked in and listened. And from morning to evening, Paul preached the gospel of Jesus Christ. Isn't that something? And then later on, he went out and had his head cut off and went to see Jesus. And don't feel sorry for him. That was a good day. Amen. That's the day he was praying for. He said, who shall deliver me from the body of this death? He was looking forward for that day. Can somebody see who that is getting out and walking around out there? I don't really know who that is. But listen, it was a good day. It's a good thing to know the Lord. Might be the time for me to go, our time to go. Amen. Amen. Look here. What was Paul saying? He said, none of these things move me. Are you with me? None of these things move me. Neither count I my life dear. What things? Would you like to know what things Paul was talking about? The Lord tells us. Look at 2 Corinthians chapter 11. Turn there with me. 2 Corinthians chapter 11. Verse 23. Read this carefully with me. 2 Corinthians 11, 23. 2 Corinthians chapter 11, verse 23. Truck's going, so is Brother J.R. Amen. Anybody else want to go? No, next. 2 Corinthians 11, 23. Look here, listen, look at this. This ain't Hollywood. This is the Word of God. This is the man of God. Look what he says. Are they ministers of Christ? I speak as a fool. Hi, boys. I'm looking at them boys thinking, did I bring them? And they didn't want. I didn't bring them. They're just someone brought them here.
Your name.
Okay. He said, I speak as a fool. Look what he says. I am more. He said, I am more in labors, more abundant. In stripes, above measure. What's Paul saying? He said, I've been beaten so many times, I can't tell you how many. I can tell you how many times I've been beaten for preaching the gospel. Now, I've been beaten for other reasons. But I've never been beaten for preaching the gospel. But Paul said, I can't even tell you how many times. Above measure. In prisons, more frequent. In deaths, off the point of death many times. Of the Jews, five times received I 40 stripes, save one. The Jews were only allowed to give 39 stripes. Five times they beat Paul. Can I tell you that Jesus was scourged one time and beaten beyond recognition? The bones were sticking out. Paul was beaten five times. 39 stripes, beatings. Thrice was I beaten with rods. None of these things move me. Neither count I my life dear. He said, that I might finish my course with joy in the ministry that God's given me. Thrice was I beaten with rods. Once was I stoned. Thrice I suffered shipwreck. We get upset if our car won't start and think that we're being persecuted. A night and a day, I've been in the deep. It ain't because he went on a carnival cruise. He was trying to go somewhere to preach the gospel and the boat turned over. And he spent a night and a day in the water. In journeyings often, in perils of waters, in perils of robbers, in perils by my own countrymen, in perils by the heathen, in perils in the city, in perils in the wilderness, in perils in the sea, in perils among false brethren, in weariness and painfulness, in watchings often, in hunger and thirst, in fasting often, in cold and nakedness. Beside those things that are without, that which cometh upon me daily, the care of all the churches. In the midst of all that, the Apostle Paul was burdened about the people. And you know what his number one enemy was? More than he was concerned about any of that, his number one enemy was the legalizing Jews. They were trying to add to what? Add to the gospel, add to salvation. More than he was concerned about being beaten, he was concerned about people messing with the gospel. Amen? Hey, that's what it means to be set for the defense of the faith. Amen? Brother, listen. He said, beside them, he said, who is weak and I'm not weak? Who is offended and I burn not? If I must needs glory, I will glory of the things which concern mine infirmities. The God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, which is blessed forever, knoweth that I lie not. And then he goes on to tell about his first experience of, as a new Christian. He had to be let down a basket over the wall to escape because they were trying to kill him. What do we do when somebody gets saved? We get them up here. We all say, let's come around, shake hands. Good to you know, and then church, and you'll see them again. In 2 months, you never see them again. They're going, but listen, hey, Paul got saved, turned his life to God, and they started chasing him instantly, trying to kill him. Now, I told you 1 Thessalonians. It's not that late. I told you 2 Thessalonians. Verse number 2, and I'm almost finished. Chapter 2, verse 1 says, now we beseech you, brethren, by the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ, and by our gathering together unto him, 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, verse 2, that ye be not soon shaken in mind, or be troubled, neither by spirit, nor by word, nor by letter, as from us, as at the day of Christ is at hand. He said, let no man deceive you by any means. For that day shall not come except there come a falling away first, and that man of sin be revealed, the son of perdition, who opposeth and exalteth himself above all that is called God or that is worshipped, so that he as God set up in the temple of God, showing himself that he is God. Remember ye not that when I was yet with you, I told you these things, and now ye know what withholdeth, that he might be revealed in his time. Notice that, in his time. That's not our time, and that's not for us to know. It's in his time, the Bible says, he'll be revealed. The Bible says, however, though, I want you to see this. There's a verse 7 is a combining verse. For the mystery of iniquity doth already work. Notice this. We think it's just all going to get bad when the great tribulation begins and the Antichrist is revealed. But I'm going to tell you the foundation is going to be laid before that. And we're seeing the foundation laid today. The mystery of iniquity doth already work. When was that written? I had AD 54 in there. The Bible says, the mystery of iniquity hath already worked. Verse 8 says, and then shall that wicked be revealed, whom the Lord shall consume with the spirit of his mouth, and shall destroy with the brightness of his coming, even him whose coming is after the working of Satan, with all power and signs and lying wonders, and with all deceivableness of unrighteousness in them that perish, because they receive not the love of the truth, that they might be saved. And for this cause God shall send them strong delusion, that they should believe a lie, that they all might be damned who believe not the truth, but had pleasure in unrighteousness. Now I want you to turn back to 1 Thessalonians, chapter number 5. I'm going somewhere, we're almost there. 2 Thessalonians chapter 5, verse 1. This is one of the most important verses you'll ever read. But of the times and the seasons, brethren, you have no need that I write unto you. For yourselves know perfectly that the day of the Lord so cometh as a thief in the night. For when they shall say peace and safety, and then sudden destruction cometh upon them as travail upon a woman with child, and they shall not escape. But ye, brethren, are not in darkness, that that day should overtake you as a thief. Ye are all the children of light, and the children of the day. We are not of the night, nor of darkness. Therefore let us not sleep as do others, but let us watch and be sober. For they that sleep in the night, they that be drunk and drunk in the night. But let us who are of the day be sober, putting on the breastplate of faith and love, and for an helmet the hope of salvation. For God hath not appointed us to wrath, but to obtain salvation by the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, the closing advice that God gives through the Apostle Paul in these last days, you'll see in verse 16, what's it say? Rejoice evermore. You think that's a coincidence? How many times do we see the word rejoice? Rejoice evermore. What's more end time, last day advice? Pray less. Pray without ceasing. What's verse 18? In everything, give thanks. For this, right now, what's going on? For this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you. There are no accidents. Y'all need to scratch that word from your vocabulary. There's no chance. There's no good luck, no bad luck. It's the providence of God. Whatever's going on in your life, it's of God. Be thankful for it. In everything, give thanks. Quench not the spirit. Despise not prophesying. Prove all things. Hold fast that which is good. Abstain from all appearance of evil. And the very God of peace sanctify you wholly. And I pray, God, your whole spirit and soul and body be preserved blameless unto the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Faithful is he that calleth you, who also will do it. Amen. Now listen, we're living in a day of persecution, if you might say a day of tribulation. I don't believe we're in a day of great tribulation. The Antichrist has not been revealed. I believe the gospel is still being preached. I don't believe the gospel will be being preached during that time. But we're in a day of persecution of Christianity, in a day of tribulation. We're not the golden boys of America anymore. We're the bad apples of America. When I was a little boy, 7 years old, communism was the problem. The communist Russia was the problem. Today, fundamentalist Christians are the problem. Bible-believing Christians are the problem. So I say what? Well, glory. It's tribulation time. God's better today than he's ever been.
Amen.
It's persecution time. God is good. Amen. God is faithful. Hey, rejoice.
hunker down, amen. Hey, let's rejoice in God. Let's get our song back. Let's get our joy back. Let's get our shout back and just thank God. What is, hey, listen, it's not what is, will be. It's what God says will be, amen. But listen, number one, the child of God will not suffer past what God perceives needful for the gospel's sake. You'll not suffer one bit more than what God perceives needful for the gospel's sake. Amen. Any suffering in your life is for the sake of the gospel, that you might be a better testimony for the Lord Jesus Christ. Number two, the sufferings we endure at the close of this age culminate with all ages, or add up with all ages, to mark the recompense of God's anger, simply meaning this: the sufferings you and I endure, the sufferings that those before us have endured, the sufferings that the martyrs of all the ages have endured, God saved up every bit of it. And someday God's going to pour out His wrath on the earth, on this earth, against those that have persecuted His people. God's not going to come up with some new vengeance. He's just heaped it all together. It's kind of like this, and I thought about this morning in Sunday school. Somebody may hit me 10 times in a row. 10 times on Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday. 10 straight days somebody might hit me and I might walk away. That does not mean I'm not going to pay them back. I may be waiting for day number 11 when I'm going to meet them and I'm going to hit them 10 times. I've recompensed exactly what they did to me. I just did it to them all at once. And see, the world's been trying to hit the cause of Christ a little bit here, a little bit here. Every punch the devil's thrown, God's marked it down. Someday He's going to pour it out on those people. Listen, number three, no child of God has ever suffered for Christ alone, nor has any saint known greater closeness to Christ than what comes through suffering. The fiery furnace, ring a bell to you, Meshach, Shadrach, and Abednego, who was in there with them? Jesus. So I want to have a closer walk with Jesus. Let me tell you how to get it. Persecution comes. Jesus ain't leaving. He's coming closer. Amen. Jesus healed a blind man in the New Testament. His parents deserted him. They threatened to throw him out of the temple, and they denied they wouldn't have anything to do with it. But that man, they said, well, who is he? He said, I'll tell you what, he's not who he is. He said, but one thing I do know, he said, whereas I was born blind, now I see, and none of you fellows can do anything to help me. And they said, you get out of here. They kicked him out of the temple, and you know who was waiting for him on the streets? Jesus. So, preacher, we might have to stand alone. You can't stand alone, amen. Anytime you stand up for Jesus, stand up for Jesus, you soldiers of the cross. When you stand for Jesus, Jesus stands with you, amen. Amen. Number four, tribulations of this life are but trifles in light of the glory of eternity. 2 Corinthians 4, 1 through 7, and 2 Corinthians 4, 8 through 18, they tell us that the sufferings of this, the very light affliction compared to eternity. Just a light affliction. When you get to heaven, no matter what the devil does to you, at best, you won't even remember it, but if you did, it'd be like a mosquito bite. Amen? Compared to the glory of eternity. If you get to heaven, if you had any memory of it at all, you would say, what suffering? What persecution? I don't remember. Never mind. Ain't God good? Amen. Give us so many blessings.
Amen.
Undeserved. And you're not going to look back and see how you died. It won't matter then. Amen. See, preacher, I don't want to be boiling oil. How you want to die? I mean, that'd be a quick way out, wouldn't it? You can't really choose. I mean, listen. Number four, the tribulation of this life are the trifles in light of the glory of eternity. Number five, I'm done. Tribulation for the child of God is but an opportunity for rejoicing, because in tribulation we get to identify with Jesus and His followers. Sometime, and I'm not going to read it to you, sometime read Acts chapter 4 and 5. Sometimes read Acts chapter 4 and 5. That's the first persecution, the second persecution. And after the second persecution, I like what the apostle, the disciples said. They said, who should we obey, God or man? So Gamaliel said, if this thing be of Christ, let alone, you can't stop it.
And they said, okay, Gamaliel, we believe you. So they said, let's go ahead and beat him, though.
They took the disciples and they beat him.
You know what the disciples did?
They got up, went home rejoicing. Got back to the church and said, praise God, guess what? We just got beat to death, nearly. We suffered for Jesus' sake. And they had revival and they said, let's go soul winning. Let's go! Maybe I can get beat. I'm just telling you, that's the attitude. The Apostle Paul, one place, the Jews in the city beat him to the point nearly of death. The Roman soldiers came in. I mean, the whole band of centurion soldiers, mean guys, came in and said, what in the world are you doing to that guy? He must be really bad. It was Paul down there getting beat up. And they rescued Paul from the Jews in the city. And they were trying to kill him. And Paul said, wait a minute. He said, lead me up those steps. Imagine that. He didn't have no suit and tie on. Amen. He probably had the clothes ripped from him, his nose bloodied, his eyes black, beaten. He said, oh, wait a minute. He preached the gospel to him after they'd nearly beaten him to death. Amen. What a sermon that would be. Brother, listen. Sometime read Acts chapter 7, verse 54 through 60, you'll see a man named Stephen there. Stephen was a deacon full of the Holy Ghost that preached the truth. They didn't like it. The Bible says he looked up into heaven and he saw Jesus. And when they saw him see Jesus, the expression on his face after that, notice after that, they gnashed on their teeth. They saw Jesus on him. They saw the joy on his face and they saw him after he saw Jesus. Then they gnashed their teeth. They picked up stones and started stoning him to death. You know what happened? The Bible says they were stoning him to death. Jesus looked over the portals of heaven and watch to welcome Stephen home. Can I tell you tonight, tribulation for the child of God is but opportunity for rejoicing and identifying with Jesus and his followers. Tribulation, what of it? Rejoice evermore. Rejoice evermore. Whatever happens in the days to come happens for the sake of the gospel of Jesus Christ. Amen?
Amen.
Paul said that it is kind of worthy that they would suffer for his name. That's all I've got for you tonight. I want you to close your eyes a minute, bow your heads. I want to ask you a question tonight. If Jesus comes tonight, if this world ends tonight, there'll be no other chance for you to be saved. And when I ask you, are you saved? Are you a young person tonight? And maybe in Sunday school someone's talked to you about being saved. Are you an older person? You know you've never been saved, but you'd like to be. And Jesus is maybe you're a teenager tonight. You've heard about being saved, but you never have been saved. You'd like to be saved. I wonder tonight if there's anybody here tonight that would say, preacher, pray for me. Because I'm not ready for the future. I'm not ready for eternity. But I want to know Jesus. I want to be saved. Would you pray? Would you say, pray for me? Would you raise your hand? I mean, really, honestly, are you ready? Is there somebody here tonight, you're not ready, you're not saved? You ready?